All right, so we about to get into this mind shift episode, because y'all been asking me and I've been saying I'm gonna do one, and I do need to do one. I need to do better about the audience and what you guys may want. I think for entrepreneurs and influencers, there's a tip that a lot of times you don't really consider. The audience does not lie. Whatever they want, it's working. Whatever they're asking for, you have to give. The consumers are always right. I don't know about customers in customer service, but in business, when you're in demand and they're asking for it, there's a reason. There's a reason that their product works, and that's a reason that people are asking for you to do what you do. So you can take that how you want it, but it's the truth. If you have a gift, if you have a talent, and people are asking for you, something about what you're doing is reaching them. And a lot of times, people who don't know their gifts, that's really how you can find it. They'll tell you what you're good at by what they request of you. And so if you're struggling to even find your passion and live in your calling, that's a place to start. What are people asking of me? What do they like? You know, whatever's in demand is right. And you have to know that when you want to reach people. If it's about moving forward, or moving a goal forward, or a purpose forward, or driving home a vision, you have to understand that in order for them to see what you see, you have to kind of hear them and see where they're at with everything. So everybody who's been asking about that Monday Mind Shift, that was, you know, news to me that I need to do more of them. And I will. This one will probably be out Tuesday or Wednesday, but nonetheless, it'll get you through the week. And we may even switch from calling it Monday Mind Shift to just Mind Shift, because that's really what I like to drive home, the fact that you are about to shift your mind into something. And so this one, I'm not going to go long, because I know we did have a long episode last week, but I did want to do this one. We're going to go with something real simple, just so if you got a pen, if you know taking notes on your phone or your notes app, shift your mind into letting it go. Just let it go. Like, you have to let it go. So many people can tell you their story. They can tell you the day it was, how they felt, where they were, what you said, what you did, how bad you cussed them out, what you stole from them, how they got fired, how they got cheated on. Everybody has these stories. But I'm a witness, because I was a person who didn't let things go. And even still today, I struggle with this. That's why this one is important. I want you to understand that letting it go isn't really for you or them. It's for God. And so you have to say, God, I need to let this go so your will can be done. A lot of times we don't understand where God is coming from with offense, because we see it through our eyes, our flesh, our humanity. You know, we don't see it from a divine standpoint. And so ask for spiritual eyes first. But what I want you to understand is that everybody has a story. Everybody. And I don't want you to become a victim of your past, a victim of your story. And I don't want you to have one song. I like Usher's Confessions album. I played it the other morning. Like, sometimes I just played it a couple times a year. It's just good to me. But the whole album tells a story. You know, he doesn't just stop with "These Are My Confessions," you know, or he doesn't just stop with "Let It Burn" or whatever it is. I know for some people, I'm dating myself if you don't know that album. But it was a story. And stories have multiple tracks and multiple songs and multiple chapters. I don't want you to get caught up in retelling the same thing, because that's not going to get you nowhere. Let's be honest. It's not going to get you nowhere. A, people are going to get tired of hearing about it. B, it's going to kill you. And maybe not literally, but figuratively, it's actually going to stop what God is trying to do. You got to let it go. Some of you are sitting in a desk at a job, in a relationship, in a friendship, in a partnership, and you can't let something go. And that relationship will move so much more effectively It'll flow better if you could let that hurt go. Offense can be a cancer to you, man. I'm telling you what I know. Offense can really be a cancer to you. Because you'll hold it and harbor it and think about it all the way up until the point it'll make you sick. Most people are sick physically and emotionally because of a trauma or an event or an offense that they cannot let go. And I'm not saying it's easy, but what I'm saying is you have to take the steps in order to get to a place where you say, I'm at peace. You left me and I'm at peace. You didn't want me and I'm at peace. You gave me up for adoption and I'm at peace. I experienced church hurt and I'm at peace. I'm at peace. If you've been fired, can you get to peace? Because what God is trying to do is say, I want to take that one event and move you to a place spiritually where you can receive what I have for you and probably help save some of the people that offended you. Because they need to see we hurt that person and we left them for dead and we tried to do this to them and God elevated them. You have to understand that there's no elevation if you're bogged down and tied down to the actual offense. And so I came up with this one just, you have to shift your mind, but I came up with this one just simply due to last week's trial and case. Everybody saw the trial. Everybody saw Amber Gaga get sentenced to 10 years and then our reaction. And I spoke on this a little while ago on the podcast from last week. Thankful for everybody who listened to that. That was a long one. But I spoke on that. And I opened up about how I felt about it and how my convictions were. And what I want you to understand is that showed me last week that it's a couple of things. One, we really need to go back to truth. Everybody had a side, but not everybody was seeking truth. Your opinion isn't always truth. It's your opinion. But what is the truth? And I'm talking to church people because, you know, I heard some different theology, you know, 10 years, her getting that 10-year sentence. We changed our entire theology. Some people, we started switching up Jesus's words, switching up events that happened with the children of Israel. I saw it all. And I'm not going to call anybody out because there are a lot of fans of the show. But I am going to say, study before you react on a national or public platform, whatever you want to call it. That platform is huge. And I'm thankful to Facebook because, you know, it opened up a lot of doors. I get to witness a lot of different people through Facebook and Instagram, people I've never met. You know, I was introduced to a lot of different books, a lot of different counselors and preachers and pastors and professionals and fitness trainers. I get a lot off of social media just living through other people's profiles. And I'm blessed to be able to do that. And I'm blessed to even share my journey and my walk and my influence with you guys. But I'm very mindful and cautious before I get on there talking. Study this thing. The Bible is heavy. It's not they like to call it basic instructions before leaving earth. It's not basic. It's God's word. We don't serve a basic God. It's his word. And so you have to approach that as what is God saying, not what I want him to say, not what I wish he would say, but what is God actually saying to me in this? And I saw a lot, man. I saw a lot, and I held my tongue because I do believe we have to start putting together the right platforms. We need to have some panel discussions. We need to have more conferences, and I'm working on some stuff. I'm not just throwing stuff in the atmosphere because everybody's responsible for this. But Facebook is not the place where you get answers. People either like it or they don't like it, or they just get on there and comment and give their opinion, and nobody's getting to truth. No one. And so what I saw last week was we have an issue with the fence. I mean, let's be real. We have an issue with the fence. We couldn't even let the brother free himself without calling him a coon or an Uncle Tom or something derogatory like that, because we have an issue with the fence. Everybody who had such a hard time with someone else's imprisonment to something that didn't directly affect them, that let me know what happens when it's your family. You're going to act a fool. And in the same breath, you want us to cover and pray and thank God and every praise to our God. And my God is awesome. But when someone offends me, they don't have the right to that same God. It hurt my heart to see people say that they were baptized for the remission of sin. Christ died for my sins. It was my sin that sent him to his cross to be murdered. But when someone murders someone that I care about or someone that I love or someone who's black, all that goes down. How does your sin send Christ to his death, but someone else's sin is unforgivable? The theology is not hard right there, but it's not basic. You have to get to truth. You have to get to truth. Truth sets you free. And the reason that people struggle with shifting their minds into letting something go because they don't have truth, or they don't really believe God's word, or they don't know God's word to believe God's word. They know church. They know church. There's a difference between church and Bible study, and then living out God's word. And I don't want to come down on people, but we had a lot of opinions. And I just want to encourage everybody, get to truth. Open up your Bible. I've been heavy in mine this week. And I'm always in it, but I had to add some more to it because it was like, man, it hurt, because when you do preach and when you try to influence and when you try to have a voice that people respect in this thing, you have to be on it. And so I was like, man, there are a lot of people that I grew up with, people that are older than me that I admire, that are really having a hard time dissecting God's word. They're surface level reading. Because it's easy to make it say what I wish it would say, but the parts that should convict me, I skip them or I don't know them because I don't read it for that. So I know how to get my blessing, but I don't know how to handle offense, and I can't let something go. You got people who are missing out on blessings that God would give because they didn't understand what to do when he brought offense their way. Everything is not an attack of the devil. Sometimes God is setting some things up. We saw it with Job. We also saw it with Joseph, and that's kind of where I want to come from today. Y'all know I love that story, but it just made so much sense, and it was so relevant in this time that Joseph had to let it go. And the reason I'm bringing him up is because, once again, he was very gifted. He could see what other people couldn't see. He was a dreamer. But he dealt with some people who did not like him because other people liked him because he could see things. He not only dealt with that from family, he dealt with it even in prison. There were people who used him, took from him, and then when they got out, they didn't remember him. That means they took something for free and they didn't pay. They had the opportunity and the chance to help clear his name, and they didn't do it. And we're going to walk through this very quickly, but I really want to show you that dreamers and people who have visions and people who are talented and gifted, you need to be ready for offense, because the reason that God gave you the dream, the reason he gave you the talent, he gave you the vision, he gave you what he didn't give other people, is because you can do something they can't do, and you're about to go a place that they can't go, but you're going to prepare the way for them. And if you cut them down because of how they treated you back in the day, you won't be able to receive them when God is saying, hey, bring them up to your level. You won't be able to free them. Sometimes you have to go to offense, because you're the person that's about to free everybody with the negative mindset. All of his brothers were jealous of him, except for Benjamin. Benjamin was his younger brother. And see, in this story, it takes a turn early on, because what I want you to understand is Joseph and Benjamin are full brothers. The brothers aren't really mad at the daddy giving him the coat. They're not even really so much upset with the fact that he can see things that they can't see and that he's multi-gifted. But they're more so upset with how someone else loved him. See, that daddy loved him because he loved his mama. They didn't share the same mama, only him and Benjamin. And so when parents kind of separate and love a child more, it affects other things. And people who, you got to watch how they treat you based on how someone else sees you and loves you. Some people go through that on their job right now. Everybody loves you, so somebody else don't love you. And they will plot on you because of the love that people have for you. And this happens before offense. I can be jealous and not offend you yet. But jealousy is a seed that leads to me offending you. Jealousy leads to sin. Looking at how someone else views someone can cause me to sin against them if I don't do what God told Cain to do. Master your anger before it masters you. And so that's what happened. Joseph was a dreamer. He was talented. He was gifted. He had this coat. And the brothers plot to kill him. And then Reuben stands up and says, man, we can't do that. Let's just pretend like we killed him. And so what happens is they go and they do that. And Joseph ends up getting sold into Egyptian captivity and working for Potiphar. And then Potiphar's wife lies. Offense number two. So my brothers don't like me, and they do an attempted murder. And then the man that bought me, his wife is lusting after me. So Joseph, he didn't just have a talent for interpreting dreams. He looked good. This is important, because there are people who don't really like other people because of their appearance. You look good. This is a thing. This is a thing. The wife wanted him. Now, what I want you to get is the reason you have to let things go is so God can remain. Joseph starts. Potiphar buys him. And then Potiphar puts him in charge of everything he has, because God was with him. Joseph didn't come in talking about his brothers. He didn't come in talking about what they had done to him. He didn't come in talking about they didn't want me and they lied on me and they, you know, they treated me wrong because daddy lied. He didn't give Potiphar that story. He just continued serving God. And so Potiphar anoints and appoints him. And then his wife lies on him. And not one time do we hear Joseph pleading. Potiphar's wife, you was wrong. I don't know her name. But they didn't. He never went back and said, you know, you wronged me. You know, you lied on me. You know, you got me put in jail. It's bad enough my brothers did me wrong, but I ain't never done nothing to you or your husband and you lied on me. He never goes back and says, you wrong for that. And we have some people, and I'm guilty of this. We're waiting to see a person. Can you imagine Joseph getting out of jail and the first person he goes see is Potiphar's wife and say, I got some words for you. Gifted people have to let it go for this reason. He never stooped down to the level of the people that offended him. Thus, he kept going higher. When he gets out of jail, he don't go and confront Potiphar's wife. Instead, he starts working for Pharaoh and becomes governor. He's over the food. He's over all of the affairs. Because he used his dream instead of his story, instead of the pain of his story. Even when he was in jail, he didn't talk about my brothers this, my brothers that, Potiphar's wife this, and Potiphar's wife that. He was focused on getting out of there. Matter of fact, I skipped a part. When he was in jail, the warden put him over everything in the jail. This is crazy, the favor this man had. But I think it's because he kept with the plan. He could have went to jail saying, man, that woman lied on me. My brothers ain't nothing. I don't need to be here. I'm innocent. I don't need to be here. But he focused on a plan on getting out. But while he couldn't get out, he still served and he still believed that God was with him, and God was. And that's why everywhere he went, he was appointed above other people. And some of you are so good, but offense won't let you be great. You're so good, but you're harboring offense. And it showed with that case last week. Y'all can't even forgive a person who didn't murder you. She murdered someone else. I can only imagine. And believe you me, I am not saying that there aren't injustices. I am not saying that people aren't wrong for what they do. I am not saying that there is not an agenda against black people. But at the end of the day, I'm not more black than I am Christian. And I'm black. Anybody who know me, I'm black and I'm for, I'll get with you. I'll march with you. But if I'm torn between forgiveness or the black agenda, I have to forgive, because my sins sent the Savior to the cross. I have to forgive. I have to let it go. And not so much for them, but because the will of God requires me to forgive so I can be in a good place to use my talents, my gifts, so I can thrive in my relationships, my friendships, my business endeavors, all of that. And we're missing how bad offense can hang us up. You gotta move. Joseph knew the Lord was with him, and everywhere he went, he was the head in Potiphar's camp. He was the head in the prison. He was the head in Pharaoh's palace. Why? He ain't never confront nobody. He never hemmed nobody up. He never had no choice words. He never go get revenge. Even when his brothers who wanted to murder him come back, he got emotional, but he didn't sin. First thing he made him do, he said, I need you to go back. If you have a younger brother, you need to go back and get him. Joseph wanted to make sure that y'all didn't treat Benjamin like you treated me, because I know my daddy loved our mama more, so he loved us more. My daddy had an issue. He loved my mama more than your mama. He had an issue, and he didn't get that by himself. He didn't get that. That was passed down because Abraham loved Isaac and disregarded Ishmael. And then you have Jacob and Esau at war for a parent's affection. Jacob's own daddy didn't love him. That's why he stole Esau's birthright. He wanted favor from that man. He was a mama's boy. Then he has his own kids, and he's already picked a side. They didn't pull this from him. This is a generational curse on them. Partially loving people based on relationship. But Joseph cancels that. He lets it go. He doesn't keep that seed going. He lets it go. And says, I just need proof that my brother's all right, that y'all didn't try what you tried with me, because I know how daddy loved us. And you know the story. They bring him back. And what happens is, Judah is the one who makes the claim for forgiveness. Joseph may or may not have already made his peace with it, but when people ask for forgiveness, it puts you in a place where you decide. See, God didn't tell Joseph what to do. All he did was stay with Joseph through Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, that incident, through the jail. And as he becomes second in command of Pharaoh, God was always there. And what God is saying is, as long as I'm staying with you, I'll have influence over your decisions. I won't have to tell you what to do, but I've been so good to you that you'll know what to do, because you'll pray. You'll run it by me. I'm not choosing. But God wanted to see, do I have influence? I blessed you and kept you through whatever, man. Can you forgive your brothers? And if you're not going to do it for them, do it so your daddy can see you one more time. Do it so you can make sure Benjamin is all right and he doesn't die. And do it for Judah. Because if they die in this famine, Judah will die. And if Judah dies, David dies. David dies, Jesus dies. If Joseph couldn't forgive Judah, Genesis chapter 50 said, the scepter shall never depart from Judah. Judah would have died. You have to let things go. Not necessarily for you. Not necessarily for them. It will benefit you. Because your gift thrives when you're free of offense. It's hard trying to go after it. And you worrying about all the people that did you wrong. Trust me, I've been there. I know what it's like to wake up with folk on your mind that you want to handle. I know what it's like to go to sleep with it. I know what it's like to think about day in and day out, they shouldn't have done me like that. I know some folk don't even know I know. They think they got away. And you know what? It's not my problem or my concern. If they come and need forgiveness, I gotta grant that. And that ain't a place you get to overnight. But it has to be a place that the Christian and the believer is striving to get towards. That's what Christianity is. But just specifically for this podcast, I want people to shift into getting off of the offense, because it's really holding you back. Some people can't even be what they're supposed to be in life, and they're 25, 30 years old because their mama didn't want them, or their daddy didn't want them, or their mama was an addict, or their daddy, he left them, he walked out on them, he was an alcoholic and he beat them, and they can't let that go. Gifted, talented, can do anything, but they can't let that go. And because they can't let that go, they feed it. And whatever you feed grows. And now they've become fat. Immobile now. The talent is void now. They can't even move because all they've been eating is offense. Their identity is that. You ask them who they are, they're going to tell you, well, you know, I come from, my mama wasn't there, and my dad used to beat my mama, and I'm not saying trauma doesn't have its place, but you are responsible to let it go in order to move into the direction that God would have for you. You don't know who the Judah in your life is, and you're wishing death on them. And their lineage is about to birth the next savior. Their lineage is about to be productive. Their lineage is birthing a new ministry. Their lineage has the next billion-dollar idea. Their lineage is about to break generational curses. And you're wishing death on them because you can't let it go. You want them to rot in a prison that you've made in your heart. And you'll keep them there. You'll keep them right there. Brian Tracy said, in order to put someone in a prison, you'd have to be the guard. Now, neither one of you can leave because you have to watch them. He said, if you free them, both y'all can go. But as long as you put them behind bars, you have to stand and guard it. Which means you don't even get to live your life, because all you're concerned with is if they're going to stay locked up. So you become a warden and they become a prisoner and nobody's doing anything. That's not life. That ain't my life. And you shouldn't want it to be your life either. Christ didn't die so that you could hold in and be trapped by offense. Hold in those feelings of anger, animosity. Christ didn't die for that. He died so that you could live, that you could have access to abundance. And you're forfeiting it because somebody did you wrong and did you dirty. Somebody killed off something. Everybody's giving this, you know, these opinions of, well, what if it was your brother, or what if it was somebody you was close to? I have to get there, because you're saying it like that's foreign when we saw someone and it was their brother. So I'd have to be put in that position. And I would hope that the church and the people around me would already be there telling me, man, let it go. But if everybody around me is singing the same song, I probably wouldn't be able to forgive unless I could get in my word and get to the truth. But that's not a foreign concept if it was your kid or if it was your brother, because we saw Bo's brother. I just don't want us to be at a place where we can't function and look past the offense and see Christ, and look past the offense and see the outcome of a Judah. I want us to get that. Joseph has to save his brothers because he saves Israel. But God didn't tell him. They had a relationship because it was God who kept him through everything else. He never went back and confronted anybody. He didn't even confront his fellow prisoner, the chief cupbearer, and the baker, who was supposed to do him a solid and remember him. Some of y'all right now can't wait to stun on everybody who overlooked you. And that's why you don't have what you have. That's why you ain't got it yet. That's why you ain't got blessed yet. That's why God can't promote you, because your motive is bad. Your heart is bad. And God wants to recreate and do a new thing in your heart before he does a new thing in your finances and in your friendships and relationships and with your house and with your car and your possessions. God wants to create in you a clean heart and renew a spirit, because he knows you suffering from offense. I would give you more, but you ain't gonna do nothing but use what you got to harm the people who harmed you. He gave Joseph the keys to Pharaoh's kingdom and said, you over the food. And Joseph could have denied him and killed his brothers right then and there. But God didn't give you that for that. He gave it to you so you could bless somebody else. God may be trying to promote you so you can bless those who have persecuted you. Why is your prayer for them to rot in jail when you're asking God to bless you? Bless you for what? Bless you for you? If the blessing ain't to save lost people, I don't think you're going to get it. Your blessings got to be connected to the kingdom. And the kingdom is about people who need a savior. The church ain't about you. It's about sick people. Amber Geiger had a sickness. That's how you can be racist. That's how everyone that's black and big can be a threat. That's how you can walk into someone else's house and make them the threat. Make them the attacker. Make them the intruder, because you have a sickness. Jesus said, this is a hospital for the sick folks. And we set up and ran that hospital last week and denied her. We denied her service. That wasn't right. I don't care what book you read, what Bible you read, what theology you have. You cannot make me believe that's right. Because God has dealt with you for much less. And you could have gotten more. Some of you, out of the same mouth that you cursed her with, you lying to the people you live with. You stealing from your job. And you want her to go to jail for murder. You're dishonest in your marriage. You ain't even seen your kids. And you're worried about the punishment of someone else. It's easy to go back and forth and tit for tat. But God, his love, it covers them. We can't even get into that. But you have to learn to let it go. For Judah. For Jesus. For the message to continue. You got to let it go. Your relationship won't get better until you let that go. Trust me. Your friendships, unless y'all gonna talk it out, hug it out, do whatever, and even if you're not the best of friends anymore, let it go. You're too gifted to hold on to what you're holding on to. God gave you too many gifts and too many avenues for success, and you're closed off because of offense. Sometimes offense can trap you into even taking risk. Well, they might not like, you know, they might do me like she did me. They might not, you know, they might not pay me. They might, you know, they might cheat me out of something. Take some food off my plate. Offense will have you missing opportunities because of what someone else did years ago. Let it go. So, you know, just use that shift into this week. Because we could keep going all day. But I want you to understand that your ability to let it go preserves your gift. If you don't take anything away from this mind shift, understand that your ability to move forward. And Bo's mama said that. She said, we must move on, but move on with change. I'm not saying it won't hurt, but move on with change. You have too much on you. It's too much anointing. It's too much deep within you. You were created with too much for your life to be reduced to who did you wrong. For your life to be reduced to not forgiving someone else. Thus God having to shut doors in your life because he knows if I take you in that room, A, you won't know how to deal with the attacks. And B, if you get attacked, you ain't gonna forgive them. And you'll stop right there and stunt your growth right there. Forgiveness is hard, man. I'm not sitting here saying I got it down, because anybody who knows me on that level, you know I struggle. I struggle. I don't get upset. But I did struggle with an unforgiving heart. I would just move on. Wouldn't talk to you. Put you in a box and I watch that box. Ready for you to jump out of it. And then I'll attack. But that was my mentality. That was my mentality, not realizing that I have to tell a new story. Because there's offense at every level. If you don't understand anything from Joseph's story, there's offense at every level. It was in his family. It was in the opposite sex. It was in the job he tried to get with Potiphar. It was in the prison where everybody's a criminal. And then it came full circle when God placed you right where he needed you. Now everything comes full circle. The dream he had when he was 17 years old comes full circle. And God wants to say, what did the dream mean to you? You interpreted it, but what does it mean to you? Can you carry it out? God can let you see a vision early, but you're responsible for carrying it out. Joseph saw the vision early and understood everybody's gonna bow to me. And what God had to do was put him in position and place him through hardship so he'd have enough humility, he'd have enough patience, he'd have enough a kind heart, that since everybody's gonna bow to you, are you a person that can tell them pick your head up and get this blessing? Are you prepared for the dream that you see? He had a coat. He had favor with his daddy. He was handsome. Or Potiphar's wife, she wouldn't have wanted him like she did. But God had to fix his heart, because when the dream takes off, when what you saw 13 years ago when you were 17 years old, you said everybody's going to bow down to me. But see, had they bowed down to a 17-year-old kid, you'd have messed that up. Had they bowed down to someone who's never known how to take offense, you'd have messed that up. Had they bowed down to someone who hadn't been lied on, hadn't been forgotten about. I needed to put you in position that when the dream manifested itself, you had the character to carry it out and you knew what to do when they bowed to you. That comes from letting it go. So shift your mind into letting it go. Everybody has wronged you and hurt you. We heard it. We know it. That boss don't like you. We know it. He cheated. She cheated. They left me. They didn't want me. They abused me. Let it go. Because when God is really about to do something in your life, your character, and your heart needs to be a heart for God. Because a heart for God will free and preserve Judah. Y'all be blessed and enjoy your week. Think on this. Meditate on this. Read you some books. Share this podcast with anybody that you know that can benefit. Like, rate, subscribe, all of that. Because we want it to move. We want it to move. So like it, rate it, subscribe on Apple iTunes. Give me a review. Let me know what you think about it. Follow me on Instagram, Uncle_Nate, N-A-T-E. Facebook is just my name. I'll have my booking and everything in the show notes. Let me know. Give me some feedback on the show. And we'll see you guys in a couple of days.